So we're obviously going through the series in James, and there are a number of different lessons as we move through the book, and this particular lesson has been termed judgment and mercy. So that sort of sounds like faster and brimstone, you know, sort of fires from heaven. But yeah, it's really been a great challenge for me working through this and just trying to understand more about it and how it can apply to us. I also think it's really important that we think about all the prophecy and everything that's been said about our church since the beginning of the year. You know, talking about taking new territory and moving into the promised land and being wholehearted and being genuine. And so it's with this in mind that I'd like us just to have that at the back of our minds as we look at this lesson that James has for us. And as we try and sort of unfold that, just remember that it's really all about the condition of our heart. And we spoke in different ways about that. I spoke a bit about how we find putting lime on the soil had such a dramatic effect. And basically what we're trying to do is to have an environment in which the seed that's sown into our hearts has got an environment in which it can take root, it can prosper, and it can produce an enormous yield. And so it's with that in mind that we try and unpack this and try and understand what we can learn from what James is saying to us. So before I read it, I just thought judgment and mercy, a bit of a definition for each of them. I think it always helps. There's always a few definitions you can find. But a good judgment, or the ability to make judgment, is the ability to make considered decisions or come to a sensible conclusion. Okay, so it seems like quite a very simple way to define it. But essentially, when you judge, you're making a decision. So you can say, I made an error of judgment. I went left, I should have gone right, and the ball hit me. You know, that was a decision you made. Or the judge has considered everything that's been presented to him, and he makes a decision. And so when we judge people, we've made a decision about them. That's essentially what judgment is. Mercy. So for me, mercy is like a group word. Now, I don't know if there is such a thing as a group word. English teachers could tell me. But for me, like, integrity is made up of a whole lot of things. And so mercy is made up of compassion and forgiveness, pity, benevolence. And it's often shown or offered when it's in your power to punish or harm. Okay, so the classic is someone begging for mercy. And you've got the choice now of whether you're going to forgive them or be compassionate or show pity or benevolence. So those are the two definitions, judgment and mercy, because that's what we're looking at today. So I'd like to read James 2, it's verses 1 to 13. It's quite long, I'm not going to put it up here, but if you'd like to follow in your Bible. And I know it's quite hard when someone's reading the word, but I just was reminded how the Israelites, when they found that had been lost, they found the word again. And the priest used to stand and read the word, and people used to listen and absorb it. And sometimes I think it's a bit of a lost art that we have. And so I just ask, it's so easy while someone's reading to like start thinking what you're going to do this afternoon or Monday or Tuesday or whatever. So I just ask that you really try and absorb it with everything I've said in mind. Okay, so James chapter 2, 1 to 13. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you. But you say to the poor man, you stand there or come sit at my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into a court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? So I think it's just good to pause here. You've got to be sometimes careful. In the context of this, obviously there was a situation in the church which is relatively new. Jesus has been crucified and they created this church where the rich were being shown favoritism. Okay, so it's not saying rich acts are bad acts and poor guys are good guys. I think you've got to be careful of swinging. It's in this context that the situation was such that favoritism was being shown to the rich guys, but they were actually the bad guys. Okay, so it's just to try and not swing, because that can also happen. Favoritism is showing favoritism to anybody. So if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay. So, that's the passage and that we're going to be studying. But, as you guys know, I really enjoy contemporary sort of stories. And I think Jesus, he used parables because it helps make sense of things to people because they understood from a present day sort of story. So I'm going to tell you a story now. It's a true story. Probably quite a hard story for church, but I think church is, it's not a place where we run away from life. It's somewhere where we get equipped to take on life. So, you know, and it is a true story. So, and I think it just illustrates something quite clearly. From a farming community in East Griqualand, it was just after the wool boom. So it was a prosperous time. And the community is going along quite nicely. And there was one particular guy who was a very talented sportsman, represented South Africa on the sports field. And he took a fancy to someone else's wife. And they had an affair. And in time, it went on for quite some time. And the guy that was committing the sin started to taunt the other guy. And he used every opportunity, whether it was in the pub, around the sports field in town, to taunt this guy. Until eventually, he couldn't take it anymore. And he took his shotgun and he drove across to the guy's farm, and the guy came out to see what was going on and he shot him. And he didn't die instantly, but he died. And it obviously rocked the community. And it was an incredibly big thing that happened. And so, maybe even now there's a part of us that's saying, well, gee, he got what he deserved, you know, because people like to see judgment, you know. But this guy, and obviously an incredibly sad situation, but there had to be a trial. And in those days, the judge came to the area and they chose a jury from the people that lived there. And they had the court case. And the jury, knowing the background to what had happened, found the man not guilty. And the judge said, guys, we can't do this. I know what you're trying to do, but we've got to have a judgment. It's the guy killed someone. And so they had to have a retrial. In another area, they chose a new jury. And the jury found the man guilty of murder. And it was in the time of when you were hanged for murder, or you could be, or a life sentence. But the judge showed great mercy. And the man, I don't think, even went to jail. He served some time in community service. So it's an illustration of how mercy triumphed judgment. There was a decision. Yes, the man murdered. But there was great mercy shown because of his story. Okay, everyone had heard his story. Okay. So I hope that just brings to life the real sort of terms of here of judgment and mercy. He also, I just want to cover it now because it sort of falls under judgment. Is one of the forms of judgment is favoritism. And I'm not going to go into that much into much more depth, but there's 8 points here just to understand why showing favoritism is not good. It is inconsistent. This is from my Bible notes. It is inconsistent with Christ's teaching. It results from evil thoughts. It insults people made in God's image. It is a byproduct of selfish motives. It goes against the biblical definition of love. It shows a lack of mercy to those less fortunate. It is hypocritical, and it is a sin. Okay, so that's what's wrong with favoritism, and that's the background to it. So, obviously James was Jesus' brother, or half-brother. Okay, so now what did Jesus have to say on the subject? And, you know, the story that sprang to mind, and that I'd like to just go back to, and it incorporates so many aspects of this, is the story of the Good Samaritan. And so I know we've heard it all again, but listen to it again now, considering what we're looking at. Okay, so it's from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, and I thought of changing the story and making it into a South African story. But if you have to, and you really need to understand, the Samaritans and the Jews completely hated each other. And I can't think of anybody, any groups in South Africa that really misunderstand each other, but really had the hatred like these guys did. It's quite astonishing. But a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. We could say he had mercy on him. But he had pity, took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Okay, mercy. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So what's interesting, you read the notes here, is that they disliked each other so much, they wouldn't even say the name. So when he asked him who was the neighbor here, he said the man who had mercy. He wouldn't say the Samaritan. That was the deepness that these guys had for each other. Okay, so why? I just wanted to go back to what Jesus said about this. There was, you know, these preconceived ideas that Jews judge the Samaritans judge the Jews, and this is an illustration of not showing favoritism, not showing judgment, and having mercy. So if we go back to James, and we look at it from chapter 8, from verse 8 again, it says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. So we've just discussed that now in the Good Samaritan story. That's the royal law. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Okay. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay, so I just read that again, just to show the link from the Good Samaritan story. But also, just to remind us that all of us fail. And Tony, at the beginning of the series, was explaining for us not to get confused with the book of James about being a book of works. Okay, it's about our hearts. It's about our conditions of our hearts. And so, for me, essentially what James is saying here is that it's a litmus test for us. If you find yourself judging people and unable to have mercy, there's a problem with the condition of your heart. Okay? And so, when we pray the Lord's Prayer and you say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those, it's in order for the condition of our heart to be right. Okay? So, it's not like a tit-for-tat thing where God's saying, you don't show mercy, I'm not going to show mercy. He's not like that. He's saying, guys, if you're unable to show mercy and you are judgmental, there's something wrong and you need to work on it. Because if you don't, people aren't going to judge you with mercy, and it's going to be difficult for me to judge you with mercy. So if we look at this in a South African context, and I mean I'm really guilty of this, but the South Africa is completely blessed with so many cultures. And it's incredible how, if you look around us, the different cultures that we have. But with that comes preconceived ideas and judgments. And it might even be something as arbitrary as, like, what school did you go to? And so someone says, I went to Marisburg College. Okay, solid guy, good rugby player. Okay, I went to Kersney, a bit of a smooth operator. She went to St. Anne's. She's a snob. I love it when they ask me. I always say, well, I went to Unicorn Primary in Limpopo. It's like a farm school. Like, I don't know where to put you, you know. Like, but we do that. We have these like preconceived ideas. But it goes beyond that. And I mean, I have a story. In December, we got invited to go to Lesotho. And we got invited sometime earlier. And Andrea said to me, you know, there's this invitation to go to Lesotho. I said to her, I don't want to go there. I'm not. She said, why? I said, those Basutus, they are the most sullen oaks I know. And I've been to Lesotho a few times. I said, that's it. And it always rains. It rains and they're the sullen oaks. I don't want to go there. I said, do you remember in 2003 we went to paddle across Kutsi Dam. We were driving along and there were some guys shouting for sweets and we'd been told by the Department of Ministry because we were there on like a special permission trip to do this paddle not to give anyone sweets, so we didn't give anyone sweets. And someone hit the side of the vehicle with a knob carry and ran for his life. So you remember that? And then, we were on Kutsi Dam, we went under a bridge, someone dropped a rock, it nearly killed us, it landed on the boat between us. And then when we were camping, those little shepherds rolled rocks down the mountain at us. I mean, really, I don't want to go back there. So, Andrew obviously had the last word, and off we went to Lesotho. And we arrived there, and there was a guy, a Basutu guy, David. And he honestly one of the nicest folks I've ever met. And he went to extraordinary lengths to make us feel welcome. He spent a lot of time with me on the river trying to make sure I'd catch a fish. And I think he was more excited with me than I eventually caught a yellow. He went and got his donkey and he brought it so that the kids could have donkey rides. He then invited us into their community. And they had cooked a goat and they shared this with us. My mother-in-law was with us. They walked with her. They held her arm to make sure she didn't stumble. They were just so proud to show us their children and their homes and what they were doing. And I mean, I was to the point that I was saying, Ange, when the kids are old enough, I'm going to come live here for 3 weeks. I mean, the dads are working with their kids in the fields and they're just, this is what a mom and their kids are washing stuff. And this is real, man. This is proper. And they took us back to the camp. And he couldn't speak very good English at all. But as we were leaving, he said to me, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you as you drive home. And the hair went up on the back of my neck. I just went, jeez, man. You know, isn't it incredible how we have these preconceived ideas? And here we are in this place with this amazing man of God. And it didn't rain, but the most fantastic weather. And, you know, I think What I'm really trying to labor here is getting the condition of our hearts right. And if we want to be able to show mercy and not judge people, we actually need to hear their stories. And I think that's a really big problem and a lost art. People used to sit around telling stories and we need to hear those stories. And so When you do have the opportunity to listen to someone, or when you've got, and you never have enough time, but take the time to sit and listen to people's stories so that you can start to understand and that the condition of your hearts can change. Because if you do and the conditions are right, then you're going to have an incredible harvest. And I just, this morning when I was preparing, it wasn't originally part of what I wanted to do, but I just thought about the first time I planted ryegrass. I'd never planted grass before in my life. And we prepared the lands. The tractors had been in and they'd disked and everything was perfect and the rains had been right. And the most expensive part of this exercise is actually the seed. And you buy good seed. Angus Buchanan says, good seed doesn't cost, it pays. So you buy the best seed. And everything's right. But now it would be a complete disaster to throw that good seed onto bad soil. So you do everything you can to get the soil right. Okay, you spread the seed, then you roll it, and then you wait. Okay, and you wait, and you start to think there's something wrong with that seed, man. Well, there was something wrong. I've done something wrong, and I've got this mate, Aunt Gallia's really been a wonderful friend to me. It's like a lightning rod, a wolf light on the poor guy. So I phone up her, Aunt, the stuff's not coming up, but I said, no, man, give her, just relax. He calls me, give her, just relax, man. It'll be there. Next day, and the stuff's not coming up. He says, but when you look from far away, can you see like a green hue? I said, but I'm looking at it, I can just see heat waves. I'm not seeing anything. And every day I'd wake up from my house, I could look out over these lands. And I was standing there, and one morning I came and I was sipping my tea, and I looked and I saw that green hue. And I promise you, the feeling of joy. I said, wah! It's coming! And I tell you what, it came. And in 6 weeks, now you've got so much grass, you don't know what to do. And you start to harvest it. You bring those cattle in and you start to graze it. And it's just the most wonderful feeling just to see these meadows of just this waving grass. And that's what we want to see in our hearts. We want to create a seedbed. And you know what happens? And it starts today. It could actually start right now. Where you make a decision that there are all sorts of things we can do to change the condition of heart. But right now we're talking about judgment and mercy. What about making a decision to not judge? What about if we could reset all those preconceptions we have about people? And what about if we decided that we're actually going to listen to people's story and have mercy? And it could start here in our little hearts. And at first you might not feel it. You might not see that anything's changing. But I'm telling you that if the seedbed's right, the seed's taking root and it's going to establish itself and it's going to produce a crop of abundance. And as you harvest that crop, you'll be able to spread that seed to people around you. And if enough people are doing it, and if our leaders are doing it, I tell you what, the diversity we have in South Africa, if we have a reset in that attitude, and all these preconceptions we have, and it's from all sides. It's preconceptions people have about farmers versus and miners and laborers and all these different things. I tell you what, we'll be unbeatable. As a church, we'll be unbeatable. As a country, we'll be unbeatable. As a community. And so that's where it starts, right here in our hearts. And it starts with asking God to reset those misconceptions and those judgments that we might be making. And for us to have mercy. And it's just a reminder also, where we talk about, James talks about the law. The law was given to Moses when he was trying to reestablish the Israelites as a community. And he needed some guidelines, and he got the Ten Commandments and the various other laws. But you know, if all of us lived by the Ten Commandments and the laws that were given, there'd be very few problems. The problem is how difficult it is to keep it. And so we were given that gift by Christ dying and the ultimate sort of cost. So we have the most expensive seed that's being sown into us. That through that death and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we get the grace which will enable us to be everything that God has planned for us to be. And so it's just to not feel burdened by it, to be reminded that we have this gift and this power that can enable us to be everything that God's planned for us to be. And so as I just come to an end now, I just ask that, you know, that you really just think about what it is that we've learned from this chapter and how it can have a practical impact on the condition of our hearts. And you know, it's often just pride that will stop us from letting go. And I mean, just some more little practical stories where you see it happening. I mean, the other day I was visiting my dad and he just had his pacemaker changed or put in. And he's had a new 4x4 magazine there, and there was a shootout with tires. We love 4x4s and tires. And so I said, hey, Dad, these generals actually did really well in the shootout. And my mom's making coffee, and she says, we don't buy generals. So I said, what? Why? Dad says, no, well, in 1972, mom was driving in the Chev, and she had a blowout, and it was a general. And since then, we've never bought generals. And you know, it's just amazing. I mean, you'll have farmers. We don't buy red tractors. And or it might be, you know, great-grandpa Byrne, this is hypothetical, did a deal with Oom Janie. And Oom Janie shortchanged him. And since then, we've never done another deal with an Afrikaner. You know? That's hypothetical, but I'm telling you, it happens. Or an Afrikaans guy might say, but I don't do business with the Rooinekke. Because you know what they did in the Boer War? You know what I mean? And there are 1,000 things, that reasons we can find to not do something with somebody else. And if we all keep hanging on to those things, and it's lacquer to draw a line in the sand, we don't buy red tractors. You know? No. You know, it feels good. You made it luck. You know? But it's really prideful. And so we need to make that decision that we're going to let go of those prejudices. We're going to let go of the history that we might have of making judgments. And so I'm going to pray for us now. As we end off, and just pray for also for our leaders, that that there will be a change in their hearts as we go forward. So if we just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would just reset our minds and our hearts with the judgments we make, with the preconceptions that we have, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd make our hearts a place where it's just a beautiful seedbed, where you can just sow seed in there, and that you would reap an abundant harvest, and that seed could be spread to those around us, Lord. Lord, I pray too for our leaders, right from our community level, right through to government, Lord. I pray with our country that you would reset all those conceptions and misconceptions and judgments that we have, Lord. Bring us to a new place, Lord, where we see everybody as we should see them, Lord. I pray that you would help us not to judge, that you would help us to find the time to listen to each other's stories and to show mercy, Lord. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.